Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's Clemson Athletics podcast. Don Munson, George Marks along with us. Men's soccer team obviously going against Stanford, quarterfinal action of the NCAA men's soccer tournament at historic Riggs Field Friday night, 6 o'clock. Be there or don't. Or watch it online or whatever, but mainly be there. Tickets available, by the way, online through ClemsonTigers.com. You can purchase them there online as well. Got to get all that in, George. It's all part of the deal. All right, so talk a little bit about this team. I mean, here you are, a chance to, you know, you're the one of the final eight teams that's left standing in college men's soccer. And that goal is there to try to make it onto Cary and see if we can make it to a Final Four and win a national championship.
Yeah, I think this team's been great this year. I think we're all really grateful that we've gotten this far and the team we have, the coaches we have. As much as people talk about like our incredible offense, I think we're a really balanced team, and I think everyone contributes pretty equally. So I think it's been pretty cool as we've gone through the year, just seeing how many goals we can score, but also I think we've gotten a lot more shutouts than we usually do as well, which is really exciting. But I think we're all just grateful to still be here past Thanksgiving, playing in December with the boys. So this is what we worked for since June, come here earlier than everyone else, so I'm pretty happy with it.
All right, so when did you get the sense that this was going to be this kind of a team? When did that sense come in your mind, hey, we've got something going here?
I'd say we all knew that we were going to be a lot better than last year. There was a feeling kind of summer going into preseason that something was different, but I'd say the Notre Dame game was the first inclination that we really had, because we our non-conference schedule this year, we smoked some teams, we played some good teams, but no one really had tested us, especially defensively. So we went to the Notre Dame game just super amped at South Bend, which is a place that Coach Noonan and I think Clemson hasn't won. Coach Noonan's never won there before this year, and Clemson hasn't won in a number of years. And we spanked them 4-2 at their place, and I think that was the first time when we saw, like, wow, this team could really do something if we streak together some performances.
Yeah, it was way back mid-September. I'm sitting here looking at my score sheet. That was on the 13th of September when that happened. And actually, you know, you take a look at that. Then you come back home, you win a game in overtime against Fordham. You know, and I don't know that media or fan base gets what it's like going and winning a big game like that and how much energy, and then coming back, even though you're playing at home, just doing it, trying to do it all over again.
Yeah, I'd just say a lot of the midweek games, especially early in the season, sandwiched in between the big media prized ACC games on Friday nights, it can be tough to get up for them sometimes. But that was a game that I think was really important for us because it was a little bit of a wake up call against a good Fordham team, but also showed us that we're good enough to win, even probably not on our best nights when we do make mistakes. And that's a very important thing that I think we've showed, especially in the last two tournament games where we might have felt like we weren't at our best.
All right, so the team goes through, wins the ACC regular season title, so you're the number one seed in that thing, make it to the championship game, disappointing loss there to Virginia. How has the team kind of responded back since that period in time?
Well, obviously, I think going back to that Virginia game in the tournament, we'd all obviously like for it to have gone differently. We wish it would have. But I think looking back at the end of the season, we'll be pretty thankful that that happened, just because I think it was yet another wake-up call or learning experience that I think we get more out of that game if we lose than we do if we win. So although it might have been nice to get the trophy, I think we learned a lot from that game against a very good Virginia team that we might see again. So I think we're just thankful to have that experience under our belt, especially in a title game, so that these games don't feel as pressure-packed.
All right, you talked a little bit about the offense, and that certainly has been the story of this year's club. 69 goals, 73 assists for this club. And you're a goalie, so you're back there. You're just saying, yeah, pour it on, guys. I'm going to guess it makes your job a little easier.
Yeah, it makes for a lot of celebrating by myself at the other end, so that's fun. I've done it so many times this year, sometimes I don't even get that as excited anymore, but usually everyone's just as special. But, yeah, I mean, it's been incredible. We got a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball, but I think just throughout the entire team, even across the back line, we've just got really good distributors and guys who can put the ball into the right hands and they can finish it up off top, obviously. So,
all right, when you have goal scorers like Robbie Robinson, like Kamarni Smith, like Grayson Barb, Philip Mayaka has just been, as a freshman, has been a huge story on this team. But when you got guys like that on the field, how much are you communicating to them? How much do you let them know what you're seeing from a goalie standpoint to help them offensively?
Offensively, I'd say they're pretty knowledgeable, so I let them do the bulk of what they're going to do. And a lot of them, like Mayaka and Robbie, if I tell them to dribble a certain place, they're not going to listen to me. They know what to do. But I think as far as me seeing the whole game, I can more direct them just in their shape so that maybe they're in the best spot to transition into attack from defense when we win the ball back. So I'd say that's more of my role with them. And also just like a lot of chemistry you build like on the training pitch, just something that I pride myself in is being able to distribute the ball pretty well all over the field. So if they know what I'm thinking when I get the ball in my hands or the ball in my feet, maybe I can skip out the rest of the team and isolate them up top and maybe get them in behind. So that's something that we worked a lot on early in the season. It's paid dividends now on a few of our goals. So,
how about you personally? How has your game grown throughout the year?
I think personally, it's just been really good to get a lot more games under my belt at this level. Just from last year getting 5 or 6 games into this year being the regular starter, it's just been really important for me to see all the different scenarios that I'm going to see, make the mistakes, make the big saves, just live like the day-to-day life and try to keep that high standard. And I think that's testament to all the training we do with Coach Rodriguez and also Daniel Kazemka and Nolan Lennon just preparing me every day and pushing me from behind really hard. So I just think it's been a big growing year where I can get not necessarily comfortable, because I never want to feel comfortable. I always want to be stretching for the next thing, but be comfortable enough that I can play without too much pressure on me and just make the right decisions most of the time.
One of the things that's really impressed me about your game is your foot. I mean, the fact that you can know how to place the ball out with your feet, the way that you had to play with your feet from time to time inside the box, that's not an easy thing to do. Is that something that you really worked on hard during the off season? When I think about especially like placing a ball near midfield, the touch that you have on that to get it to your guys, it's just been really impressive.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I think Coach and the other coaches more interested in me and obviously in the recruiting process, because I think that's something that I bring to the table that maybe other guys don't. But also it's something that's kind of expected of, I feel like, the modern day goalkeeper and the Clemson United goalkeeper. Just that you're another player on the team. You can't just be a guy who saves the shots. Maybe that's your first priority, but you've also got to be that 11th link in the team who can relieve pressure, who can break lines. So I think it was kind of expected that it's part of our team DNA to play out of the back, so I'm no different. So I've got to be just as good as the center backs and midfielders, wide backs. But I definitely, it's kind of been a consistent thing I've worked on since high school, and especially after last year, since we had so much time in the off season, just every day just striking balls and making sure that I was ready for situations I faced this year.
When did the goalie bug hit you? I mean, come on. I mean, I can tell you, when I was growing up as a kid and playing soccer, you know, through grade school and into high school, you know, I didn't dream about being a goalie. I ended up playing goalie, but I didn't dream about playing goalie. When did the goalie bug hit you?
I would say I played soccer from a pretty young age, but I think I started playing goalie when I was around like 11 or 12. And I honestly, like, I don't have like a dreamy story where like it was like the first, like the goalkeeper got hurt and I got subbed. I just remember I just started playing, and still to this day when I like think about it, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing sometimes, but like it's what I love to do. Like I just like, there's something that I like about getting smashed with a ball, and it makes me excited. Like it just makes me pumped up. Like it's pretty unnatural, but I mean, I think it's like a really special position, and some people say there's a lot of pressure that comes with it, but I feel like I embrace it. I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah. By the way, I was an awful goalie. All right, just let you know, because it's a different. You got to have a different mindset. No, you have to. All right. So the last two games have basically come down to golden goals for your ball club. Now, as a goalie, there's a little bit of pressure in that. Now you play through 90 minutes, and now you know you're getting into this situation. All right. So what is it? What are you trying to tell yourself when you get into these overtime periods? What's the things that's kind of a calming factor for you?
I just try to think back to all my preparation and all the time in the training pitch with my back line, and I'm really confident in those guys in front of me and all the way through the entire 11 guys. I feel like we're pretty confident in each other. But really just I find a sense of calm in my preparation, just because nothing really changes as much as people would like for you to think, like you need to be more hyped up or something. I feel like nothing really changes, and as long as you fall back on that high standard that I feel like I keep myself to on the practice field as well as my back line, it's really no different. I mean, obviously there's a higher consequence of winning and losing directly based off the next goal, but I think the key is playing exactly like you would in the first minute, as you would in the 110th.
You mentioned the back line. Maybe the most undersold part of the soccer team is the back line. Top, you know, those guys in front of you, we've kind of watched them grow up as the season has gone along as well.
Yeah, our back line's been fantastic this year, from defending to communicating and building chemistry, as well as distributing to the forwards. But I mean, I just think we're so undersold as a defensive unit, just because, I mean, there's been a few games, I think, where we've lost a little bit of concentration and we've given up three or four times this year. But other than that, man, we've been so solid, and we've got leaders back there, just Oscar and Malik, maybe two of the the main voices on the field, and Charlie and Malou, who are just absolute workhorses getting up and down and have played like the total bulk of minutes. I don't think Charlie and Malou have been subbed much at all this year. And I think it's incredible. Those guys in front of me, I couldn't ask for better, and it makes me like even more confident, because I know that they're always there to back me up, and I'm not going to have too much to do as long as they're in front of me and we're working as a unit.
All right, tell me a little bit about the Stanford team coming in.
I know we've got a little bit of vengeance coming against them, as we lost them in 2015 when I wasn't here, but honestly, nothing changes. I think this team is pretty intrinsically motivated. I don't think we need this team particularly coming to town, but we're going to scout them just as hard as we would have scouted Radford or UNCG coming in the start of the year. Nothing changes. Every game's just as important. This one's obviously the one that's on our mind right now, but I think if we take care of business, it's all about us. It's about Clemson, not about Stanford.
All right, last question for you. If this comes down to PKs, what are you thinking as a goalie? I mean, obviously there's a lot of, you have so much more film, first and foremost, that you can watch on these guys. Is it truly a 50-50 guess? Are you looking for the way that a foot is placed? What are you looking for as you stand there on the line?
Well, personally, what I'm looking for, I mean, I don't want to give away all my secrets, but it's really just trying to put off the PK taker. As long as you shift your mindset to the idea that they're the one with the pressures on them and they're the one who has to hit the goal, and you just try to be your biggest and try to force them into a mistake, it doesn't feel as much of a pressure situation as you'd think it would, because I feel like whenever there's a penalty for me, I might be upset because it might be a bad call, but I'm always secretly like a little bit giddy, because it's like I'm either going to be the hero here or there's no blame really to be passed on me, because it's a low percentage opportunity probably for the goalkeeper. But for penalties, what we've decided with our staff is Daniel, the other goalkeeper, is going to go in, because I think we've had success with summoning another goalkeeper in, maybe mentally, but also he's a really powerful guy who can get to all the corners, so we feel pretty confident in him, and he's been preparing really hard all year, so I think he'll do a great job if we get to that. But hopefully, I think if we do our job, we should be able to do it in regulation.
We've seen Coach Noonan do that throughout his career. Mm-hmm. It's always kind of not been the lead guy. It's always kind of been the second guy that has gone in there, and it's worked well. I'm not going to complain about it. Hey, all the best to you. Shout out for the fans. I'll let you give your shout out to the fans to get them here in the building on Friday.
Yeah, I'd just say we need everyone here. It's been rocking the last few games. It's the last home game, last chance to be able to see this super dynamic team that's put in all this hard work for you. Until next year, and we just want to make you guys proud. We do this all for you guys, so just want to see you guys out there Friday, 6 o'clock.
All right, there you go. George Marks been our guest here on the podcast. Don't forget, for everything Clemson Athletics, right there at your fingertips, ClemsonTigers.com. You can purchase tickets to the NCAA soccer game there. You can also obviously get them at Historic Riggs Field as well. Once again, 6 o'clock against Sanford on Friday night. Thanks for being with us. I'm Don Munson. Go Tigers.